support for this KQED podcast comes from ACT, presenting Stephen Sondheim's rapturous musical, A Little Night Music. Featuring an all-star cast, A Little Night Music begins performances at ACT's Geary Theater May 20th. ACT-SF.org.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on this morning's forum, we talk about the newly crowned 2015 Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors, who won that title last night by defeating the Houston Rockets at Oracle Arena. The Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James are next for the NBA Championship Finals. Then at 9:30, we'll be joined in the studio by much-praised fiction writer and former Stanford Stegner fellow Kristen Valdez-Quaid, author of Night at the Fiestas. Join us for Forum. It's up ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Last night, the Golden State Warriors, the Bay Area's professional basketball team, defeated the Houston Rockets 104-90 at Oracle Arena in Oakland, and to take the coveted Western title and be crowned 2015 Western Conference champions. That means they go on to face the Cleveland Cavaliers in NBA Finals set to begin June 4th. And in this opening segment of Forum's second hour, we discuss the amazing season of the home team Warriors and particularly their prospects for winning it all. Joining us are two of the Bay Area's leading sports writers and columnists, Ann Killian, sports columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. Welcome, Ann.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Mark Purdy back with us, sports columnist for the San Jose Mercury News and Bay Area News Group. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both aboard here. And I know there's a lot of excitement and Bay Area fans are in a kind of fervid state. But let's get right to the concerns here first. And what do we know at this point about Klay Thompson?
Well, it's kind of unclear. He experienced concussion symptoms last night after the game. He didn't come back into the game, but he came back to the bench, and if his ear hadn't started bleeding again, who knows, he might have come back into the game. It's kind of unclear what exactly his status was at that point. The team is off today, so we won't probably get any official update, but his dad, who, as you know, is a former NBA player and a radio analyst for the Lakers and a frequent radio guest in America. He was on a radio show this morning and said that Klay was throwing up on his way home last night. So that's very troubling. It's put a spotlight these last two incidents with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Steph did not have a concussion, and a lot of people were shocked he came back in. But in truth, he didn't hit his head nearly as hard as Klay did, if you look at the replays of last night. That was a pretty vicious hit. And it just, you know, like it has in other sports, it puts the spotlight on concussion protocol, what is safe, what is not, how much due diligence. I mean, really, Klay probably should have been lying down in a dark room with a wet cloth on his head instead of jumping around and being interviewed on national television. But officially, we don't have, you know, any concrete kind of word on what his status is. But there is a week before the series starts.
We should say, for listeners who aren't aware, that Steph Curry, the Warriors star and the NBA's MVP, took a terrible fall in the previous game against Houston. This game is becoming, in some ways, I mean, it's brutal, it's rough. And I was going to say, in some ways, almost seems like hockey or rugby or even football with these kinds of injuries and the kind of elbowing and pushing and kicking and all the rest of it that's going on. Yeah.
I don't think it's becoming that way. I think it always has been that way. It's just, you know,
Am I nostalgic? I remember, you know, the old days. I remember, when Jerry West was playing basketball, it seemed like a cleaner and less brutal game.
Well, Jerry West was the Steph Curry of his day, but, you know, there was a lot of brutal low post action. And, you know, ask Rudy Tomjanovich how clean it was or that anyone who played against the Detroit Pistons. I mean, it's always had that element, and anyone who's had children play basketball knows that basketball is a contact sport, and I can't tell you how many kids I know who stopped playing because of concussions in basketball. If you're going to be a good defensive player and take a charge, you're going to end up banging your head a few times.
But let's talk about last night's victory, and let's do that with you, Mark Purdy. I mean, after 40 years, how sweet it is and all the rest of that kind of joy that's pervasive now throughout the Bay Area. And it was in many – I mean, I read your article where you said Steph Curry may have seemed a little off. I think you used the word hinky, which I haven't seen in journalistic print for a long time.
That's a technical medical term.
That's right. We just did a medical hour about MDMA. I hadn't realized. But the fact of the matter is that Barnes, and Ann has a whole article about this in today's Chronicle, Harrison Barnes came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, when the bench is needed, this is a team of guys who really play.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, that was rhetorical, Mark. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I'm convinced they're going to win the NBA championship. I mean, I think the only question now is can they repeat in 2016? I mean, I really believe in this team after watching it, and anybody who reads me knows I'm not a fan. I just look at things objectively and offer my opinion. But the fact that Harrison Barnes was able to do that last night is another example. It's been a whole dream season, and the Warriors have just, you know, not easily breezed through the West. It's been much harder than they've made it look. But the fact that, you know, they've won 12 of 15 playoff games, and the Western Conference and the National Basketball Association is much, much tougher than the Eastern Conference. The fact that they've got these guys that when Stephen Curry is off as he was last night, I'm convinced he was still feeling the effects of not any concussion, but just, you know, he landed really hard on his back and his shoulder and his elbow. He was wearing like a little pad and sleeve on his right elbow and arm for a while last night. The fact that he was a little off and hinky, and then Thompson takes this horrible blow to the jaw. But they've got these other guys, these role players, you would call them, that step up and can fill that gap, and in a brutal game like last night, can make the difference. That's really why they're going to win the championship. Every team in the NBA has stars. Maybe they're not as star-strewn as Thompson, and or at least not shine as brightly as Curry and Thompson have. Every team has some stars. It's those other guys that really get you to a championship, and Barnes was the example last night, as well as Andre Iguodala, who only scored 6 points, but held Houston's best player, James Harden, to just like 2 field goals. So that's pretty amazing.
Well, Ed Killian, I'm looking at Mark's article here, and he says the East was not as good as the West this season, and the Cavs are not as good as the Warriors, not as deep and not as nimble in terms of adjusting to different styles of play. It will be a total shock, frankly, if the Warriors do not finish off Cleveland as quickly or quicker as they disposed of New Orleans, Memphis, and Houston. I guess you would agree with those sentiments?
No. I mean, I've seen LeBron James play, so I think he is one of the few players who actually can kind of dictate a game's outcome on his own. So he's going to be a handful. I don't think it's that easy. But I do think the Warriors are extremely deep and feeling very confident. But you could see it. They had nerves last night. They had nerves definitely in game 4 in Houston that I was at.
Was that nerves, or were they playing on their laurels, do you think? That, I mean, that could be a danger, too, that they can be vulnerable.
I don't think this team plays on its laurels. I think they are nervous, and then when their shots don't drop, then, you know, they can tighten up. But I do think that there is something with this team that, like what Harrison Barnes did last night, someone always seems to rise to the occasion, and it's been that way all season. Still, as a native and who was a little kid the last time they were in an NBA Finals, I find it just kind of hard to believe that we can so cavalierly, no pun intended, say, wow, they're going to win the NBA championship. This whole thing has a very surreal quality to it still, for anyone who's been watching this team for 4 years.
Well, I have the problem of being a Cleveland-born and raised.
That's right.
Well, but, you know, I tell my friends who say I'm a Quisling because I'm a Warrior fan, and they don't hold back on that kind of stuff. The Cavaliers didn't actually come into being until 1970, and I was living here by that time. And moreover, yeah, but also the fact is that the Warriors are a team you got to love. I mean, the players, the coach, the whole organization is really made up of It's like the Giants, you know, they're just likable, decent people, or at least that's the feeling they give off. I'm going to actually invite those of you listening to tell your feelings about this team's victory, and maybe even if you were at the game and saw that last game last night, an extraordinary game, but certainly they have all been in different ways. You may want to comment on what you think the hopes are, particularly against LeBron James, who also has an injury, by the way, but he's playing with that. I don't know about Klay Thompson. A lot of these are big factors in the mix and the equation of who's going to be the victor. But I'd like to hear your thoughts and your feelings about the Warriors, champions of the West. Our toll-free number, and you can join us with that number now, is 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement in the program, especially not only in terms of talking about your feelings about the Warriors' chances against the Cavaliers, but also any questions or comments you might have for two of our veteran and leading sports columnists. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting questions or comments right onto our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. You can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. I'd like to hear what you are luxuriating in the way of feelings now, or doubts or skepticism and concern, or whatever your feelings are, particularly about the big games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And at least Mark Purdy is pretty confident on that score.
Yes. Well, first of all, I think it's unfair to make Ann respond to my blathering, but I really am confident. Incidentally, my wife is from Cleveland, and I grew up in Ohio, lived there until 1978, and so I'm really happy for the people in Cleveland that this happened. As you may know, and a lot of the listeners may know, Cleveland has not won a championship in any major sport since 1964.
And they are in this terrible drought, and I feel for them, but then I think about LeBron's press conference.
Well, but he has felt shame over that and apologized for it and gone back to Cleveland with this mission. And I have to say, I am impressed at what he's done there, because, you know, throwing something together that quickly, in other words, he just came back last fall and decided to do that. I mean, it is, I wasn't sure they could get this far that quickly. I thought he would get the Cavaliers to the NBA finals eventually in the next few years, but doing it right away has been impressive. I just don't see that team. That team, the Cavaliers, know how to play basketball one way, and actually it's the way Houston wanted to play it last night, especially in the first quarter, that kind of sludged up, you know, half-court game, and then give the ball to LeBron and let him do something. LeBron is going to be really hard to stop, but you can force him to give up the ball. And when he gives up the ball, if he's not giving up to Kyrie Irving, who's their other really good player, he doesn't have as many options as the Warriors do. So, I think they're going to win this, and they got to play the game.
Well, just remember.
Excuse me,
you're talking about sludge games, Mark. You're talking about sludge games. I'm sorry, but you know what came to my mind is Charles Barkley saying the Warriors play a jump shoot game, and that's not a game that's going to be victorious all the time.
Well. They you know what they also do? That banging under the basket you were talking about earlier, that brutality under the basket, they do that pretty well, too.
Yeah, they do. Let me, in fact, find out what our listeners have to say. I'm going to go to your territory first here with a caller from San Jose. Carl, join us.
Yeah, hi. I've been a big LeBron James fan because I'm from Akron, Ohio, originally. I've been following him my whole life. And there's a lot of cockiness here from the Warriors. I know they're a great team. On paper, they're definitely superior. On the court, they're definitely superior. But I think that this cockiness is sort of like, we're going to win. Let's look to 2016. Is this going to hurt them? Because it's LeBron James, and it's the Cavaliers. He's taken this championship. He's been to the last five finals. He's a superior player, better than any other player on that court. Is this the wrong attitude to have going into the finals? Should there be a little more respect for LeBron?
Well, just remember, Carl, he is not the MVP. Steph Curry is the MVP. But and Kelly and cockiness?
What Mark Purdy says is not what the Warriors are saying. Let's not confuse the two. They are not looking ahead to 2016. Steve Kerr wouldn't even look ahead to the Cavaliers when they were up 3-0 because he wanted to close out Houston. There is no looking ahead. They are very aware that they are in a special moment in time. Even though they're young, they understand what they've accomplished is amazing, what it means to this franchise, what it means to the fan base. There's no looking ahead, and I really don't find them very cocky at all. And, Michael, to one of your previous points, I'd just like to point out that you're correct in the similarities between this team and the Giants team. There's something there, the teamwork, the togetherness, the chemistry, the likability factor on this team is really strong. And I wrote a column actually comparing the two and what are the ingredients for success. And one of them is a decision, a conscious decision by the front office to draft. Of course, you have to have talent, but to combine that talent with character, which is something the Giants did after the post-Barry Bonds years, and it's something this team has done after the Steven Jackson, Monte Ellis, guys you couldn't really count on. I mean, they really went for high-character guys, and that's one of the things that's really fun about this team. And they're not super cocky. You aren't going to catch any of them having press conferences about taking their talent anywhere or I'm coming home to win a championship. They're just kind of in the moment, and they're young, but they're wise enough to know that they don't have the experience LeBron has.
Yeah, there's a lot of likability there. I think that's an important point, Ann. Let me get another caller on here. Scott, join us. You're on.
Yes, I think it's worthwhile to talk about the depth of the Warriors and how, like, their 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th players in the rotation are players like Festus Ezeli and Sean Livingston, who are very, very good role players. But I think it's worth lingering for a while on what a spectacular player Stephen Curry is. The thing that makes it most difficult for him, of course, he's got this spectacular 3-point shot. And one of the reasons that he can get off his 3-point shot so successfully is that he has zero release time on his jump shot. And if you try to play up too tight on him, he's going to blow by you to the hoop because he's got a quick first step, an amazing handle, and he has the ability to find the creative pass to a teammate if he's double or triple teamed on his way to the hoop. It's just an amazing combination of attributes that he has.
Yeah, thank you for that. In fact, on Steph Curry, another caller, Dara. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for the show. I just wanted to say I'm not a basketball fan. The last time I looked at NBA Finals was when Phil Jackson was coaching the Chicago.
You sound like
Bulls.
A soccer fan. Would that be a hazard a guess
right.
on that?
You're dead right, actually. But I've went to my first NBA game in about 10 years recently. And I just absolutely loved it. I realized that these guys seem to be something special, and this guy Curry is just out of this world. So, you know, this team and this player are going to bring people into the game that, you know, have had no interest in years, if any.
It's already done that, and we're glad to have you as one of the fans now, Dara. Thank you for that call. I'm looking at an email, Mark Purdy, from a listener in Oakland who says, any thoughts on the officials' refusal to assess flagrant fouls last night on what seemed obviously brutal blows to the head? Two players had to leave the game as a result of Houston players' actions?
Well, you know, the NBA officiating, as much as I watch the game, I still can't quite figure out the standards about that exact point. They're supposed to be able now to review video and determine whether to assess a flagrant one or a flagrant two, which is getting kicked out. But I've seen so many times where they do view it and then they make a call that I don't understand. It's clear to me that the NBA does need to sit down again and discuss the element of physicality in the game. They don't want a lot of fouls to slow down the game, which is kind of their excuse for letting a lot of stuff go. But the funny part is now a lot of teams will purposely commit fouls on the other team's worst free throw shooter over the course of a game just as part of the strategy, so there's too many foul shots anyway. The NBA's best product is the players we're talking about, these great, amazing athletes like Curry and Thompson and Harden on the Houston team, and you want to keep them on the floor. And I think the NBA needs to have a serious come to Jesus sit down conversation about that with their competition committee and instruct the officials to err on the side of more punishment in terms of what the foul call is rather than less. And I would expect that conversation to be held this off season because, what we saw in this series particular was pretty brutal. Now the Curry play was just part of a play where he went up to try to block a shot and the other player got beneath him and he fell down. That had nothing to do with any kind of foul, But this other stuff we're seeing, particularly what I saw between Dwight Howard of Houston and Andrew Bogut, I mean, I think both those guys woke up this morning with elbow prints in their chests. It's, and I don't know that that's what the NBA wants.
Well, I'm going to go to another caller here who wants to talk about the officiating, but I want to read an email first by a listener named Stav, who says, because I had used the word Bay Area fans luxuriating, and he says, what am I luxuriating in? That this year it will be a different team winning the championship while every other major league has undergone an era of parity in the past two decades. The NBA has stagnated with only 7 to 8 teams handing each other the trophy. Another voice heard from, and let's hear from Vincent, who has some things to say about officiating. Vincent, you're on.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for everyone, too. Yeah, I wanted to expand on that. It was a great segue. And let me say, too, you really meant to ask that other caller if he was a football fan, right, not soccer. But anyway.
Good point well taken, yeah.
Right. I wanted to expand on the officiating, too, because I am a subscriber to the belief that it's really about, like, who's selling the jerseys, and they want to make it excitement about getting them, you know, stretching games out to 7. But I think that overall the officiating was better than in the past. But when you talk about, like, the NBA having, like, Stern having a conversation with the referee committee, do you think, because I've heard other referees say that they really want to get away from this buddy-buddy, that you see the referees going up in there, you know, got their hands around coaches, or, like, some, I guess, refs take coaches, their friends. Do you think there needs to be a separation so that maybe we can have better officiated games and also maybe less injuries?
Anne, you want to weigh in here?
Well, Stern is retired, so it's Adam Silver. I think if you have full-time officials, which the NBA does, that you're going to have friendships. I mean, it's just, it's normal. I don't think that's wrong that they know each other. But I thought the officiating was pretty terrible. I went back home last night, rewatched the game that was being replayed on ESPN, and I was stunned at some of the calls that were made. Replay doesn't seem to have helped. I mean, James Harden got so many calls in that series that were just ridiculous, and Steph Curry got virtually none. So there's really an imbalance, and the guys like Harden who really know how to work the system and with the, you know, right kind of head fake or whatever, seem to be getting the calls. When you look over the Houston series and you add up the fouls and the free throws awarded, it was wildly out of balance.
Well, so, we've got seconds left here. I just wanted to hear from Mark Purdy on what's essentially the battle plan against LeBron James?
Well, you either do it one of two ways. You do everything to stop him and make the other guys beat you, or you let him do everything and think that won't be enough because one guy can't win a series by himself. He does need the other guys. I would suspect that you'll see the Warriors throw their best defensive effort at LeBron to try to make him give up the ball. And then it'll be up. Kyrie Irving will be a big part of this series, and the battle between him and Stephen Curry, the two point guards, is going to be maybe what decides it. And I think we know which the best player is there.
Well, congratulations to the Warriors. They're advancing to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1975. And next week we'll tell all in terms of the championship. Thanks to Ann Killian, sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and thanks to Mark Purdy, sports columnist for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. And we have another segment of Forum coming up for you. We're going to meet Kristen Valdez-Quaid, a much-praised fiction writer whose new book is called Night at the Fiestas. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.